shame and sin came in the world, a barrier came with it, a barrier between them and God. They no longer walk with him the way they should have. We're going to walk through the Bible a little bit, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. We'll do it fairly quick. And we're going to look at verses to talk about what God does not want us to be ashamed of, spiritually. We can all think of our past, before the cross or even as Christians, of things that we are ashamed of. We're not going to talk about that kind of shame. We're going to talk about things that God says, do not be ashamed of this. There are believers in the scriptures that were ashamed. Can you think of an example of someone in the Bible that was ashamed of Jesus? Peter's one of them. Peter was one of them, where he denied him three times. The one that would die for him, supposedly, at a point in his life, felt shame. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We'll get to him. But we're going to go to Ezra chapter 9 and look at things that God does not want us to be ashamed of. Now, if God does not want us to be ashamed of these things, then we can assume that our enemy, the devil, wants us to be. Wants us to be embarrassed about calling ourselves Christians. Wants us to be embarrassed about our testimony. Wants us to be discredited about our witness. So Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. Ezra is just after Chronicles, just before Nehemiah. So we begin in the beginning with Adam and Eve not being ashamed till sin entered in the world. Ezra chapter 9, verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees, and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. Ezra's crying out, weeping in his soul over the nation of Israel, the Hebrews. And as he weeps and he's expressing shame, what's his shame concerning? What's he ashamed of here? Whose? He's ashamed for the nation of Israel's sin. We can be ashamed as a corporate body sometimes. If there's a major issue within the church, or we don't love one another like we should, or there's a major split, because it hurts God's testimony and we can feel the shame. It might not be ours specifically, but Ezra is crying out over the nation of Israel. These are God's people that should have knew better, and yet they sin and God took them into captivity. If you're going through the book of Isaiah in class, you've seen that where God uses the Gentile nations to chastise his people. He begs and pleads with them through Isaiah and other prophets. Get your heart right. Repent. I want to show you signs. I want to be your God. And yet they would not. And here Ezra is just weeping in his soul over this nation. When was the last time we wept over anybody that was family? Jesus stood over the city of Jerusalem. And what did he do? He wept. Bitter tears. We don't cry over sin like we should, especially as a corporate group. Especially as someone else is suffering and not making the right choices. We don't cry like we should. We're here to rejoice with one another, lift each other up, and cry with each other if we need to. That's what being a church family is all about. And here's Ezra. And look what he said in verse 6. And said, Oh my God, I am ashamed. Almost ashamed to be called a Hebrew. And what's that next word? When's the last time you blushed and actually turned red? Anybody? I blush easy. But he is just embarrassed over the sin of the nation. Let's go to Psalm 31. Again, we're going to try to answer the question, let me not be ashamed, and then we're going to fill in the blank. Psalm 31, and we'll read two verses, verse 1 and then verse 17. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. And let's add verse 17 to that. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Here we have a phrase where it says, do not be ashamed because you trust in the Lord. Or are you ashamed of the Lord and you don't trust him? God says, if you trust me, there's no reason to be ashamed. If you call upon the Lord, you have no reason to be ashamed. Now, when we call upon the Lord, there's two levels there. We call upon him privately in that little silent area of our life and cry on the Lord. But there's a public crying unto the Lord. When was the last time you cried on the Lord publicly? A little different when people are watching you and hearing you. And in Psalms, it says, don't be ashamed to call upon me in private, in public. Don't be ashamed to trust me to take care of you. And sometimes believers are ashamed to do that. Psalm 119. Now, a little history lesson with Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. It's divided in groups of 8 verses. In your Bible, you might have either a word or a symbol throughout the psalm. In Psalm 119, verse 1, you might have a symbol or a word called Aleph. How many have the word Aleph? How many have the symbol? The symbol? Some have both. All right. Aleph is the Hebrew letter A. The symbol is A. What they did to memorize this was to divide it into groups of 8. And every group of 8 begins with a different letter. A, B, C, D, like we would. So if you drop down to verse 9, you should have a symbol or the word Beth, B-E-T-H. That's their B. Now, the way they memorize these 8 verses, each verse in Hebrew starts with that letter. So all verse 1 through 8, every verse starts with Alpha. From 9 through 16, all start with Beth. And that's how they would memorize. That's how we teach our kids to memorize, right? A is for apple, B is for boy, C is for whatever. That's how they memorize. So we're going to go to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verse 5 and 6. We'll start there. And 5 or 6, start with the letter Alpha. 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. We have a warning here, verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to what? To keep the statutes. Verse 6, then, if my ways were directed right, if I love God's word, if I love his commandments, if I want to be obedient, if that is correct, then shall I not be ashamed. Therefore, the opposite is true. If I don't love God's word, if I don't want to keep his commandments, if I don't want to know what his statutes are, I don't want my ways to follow his word, then I ought to be what? I ought to be ashamed. And God says, we will be ashamed. If you don't want to be ashamed, love his word, be obedient, love his statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect, the proper regard, honor for what? The commandments. And yeah, most of the time, men respect other men. other governments, other places, rather than God's word. And God says, if that is what you're doing in your life as a believer, you will be, somewhere down the line, ashamed when the pressure comes. Psalm 119, drop down to 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of what? Of my hope. Don't be ashamed of the hope that's in you. The hope that we have for all eternity, that we're going to have a place in heaven, even now prepared for us, waiting for us, with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed of your hope. That's what we need to cling to, especially when we go through all the different trials and tribulations in this world. Psalm 119, let's go back to 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. What's a vain thought? You don't know what a vain thought is? Worldly, empty, double-minded, selfish. The word means that it's people who cannot make up their mind over what's good or what's bad, what's good or what's evil. With God, there is no middle ground, but they try to make a middle ground. So I hate vain thoughts, empty thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I may live. If you want life, what's the end of that verse? And let me not be ashamed of your hope. If you want to have a great life, have hope in something. A lot of times we hope in all kinds of things. We hope that we have money in the bank. We hope we have a retirement fund. We hope we have a stock market that won't crash and we'll take all our money. We hope in all kinds of things. But God says, hope in me and you will have life. And if you hope in me, you're not going to be ashamed. Take a stand. Hope in the Lord. Not in money, not in lotteries, not in 401ks, not in government, not in anything else. Make sure your hope is in the Lord. And you will not be ashamed. Our favorite book. What's our favorite book? Well, someone said Proverbs. What's our favorite book? Isaiah. I must have went wrong in class somewhere. Isaiah chapter 50, which we haven't got to yet. Verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters. That means I turned to those that are hitting me. And my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. This is a prophetic portion of scripture pointing to who? The Messiah, Jesus Christ. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. He's prepared to go to the cross and nothing's going to stop him. It's the Father's will. So he set his face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. And if Jesus is not ashamed of the cross, why should we be? And yet when we get into the book of Romans in a few minutes, and we look at the Jews and the Romans, they were both ashamed of that cross for different reasons. We should not be ashamed of the cross. Jesus wasn't. Mark chapter 8. So never be ashamed of the cross or Jesus and his testimony. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, we just saw it prophetically in Isaiah. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Is that our generation? Sure is. Every generation since Adam and Eve. So, of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. And when he cometh into the glory of his Father with his holy angels. If we're ashamed, especially as believers, of the cross, of what Jesus went through, his death, trials, then Jesus said he will be what with us? He's going to be ashamed of us. He's going to be ashamed of us. And now you can find that in Luke chapter 9, but we won't go there. It's a parallel passage. But when that kind of shame is in a Christian's life, that really means he has unbelief. He does not believe what the Word of God says. We fear man more than we fear God. And Peter's a good example of that. Romans chapter 5. It's warm in here, isn't it? Feels a little warm. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What makes us not ashamed? Our hope. We have faith, hope, love. Those are the keys to the Christian life. Faith begins your walk with the Lord. We come to the gospel through faith. Hope helps us in our relationship because it gives us hope in eternity of things that we don't have. And then love helps us to minister to one another. But hope makes us not ashamed. And in verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you don't want to be ashamed, hang to that hope for all eternity. Now, go back to chapter 1 of Romans, and we'll look at Paul's testimony in verse 16. Some of you know this by heart. This is Paul's testimony, and for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Paul was not ashamed. Now, are we ashamed of the gospel? Rhetorical question. Are we ashamed of the gospel? I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. Well, let's go back to verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews it was what? Sunblock. They were embarrassed that their Messiah went to that cursed tree. Because in the Old Testament it said that tree was cursed. And that embarrassed them to no end. That their so-called King of Kings and Messiah would go to that cross. So the Jews, it was a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, the Romans, it was what? Why was the gospel foolish to them? They were ashamed to have any kind of relationship to a common thief who went to the cross, who actually got crucified. So they both were ashamed of the gospel. Now, we say that we're not ashamed of the gospel And yet, sometimes in the way we walk, it comes across that way. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 20, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Hopefully that's your desire, that you're not going to be ashamed in anything, especially concerning God and His Word. But that with all boldness as always, so now also God shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now here that word ashamed means to cower, to run from the battle, to be embarrassed. Once you settle that question with eternity, you should never be ashamed of the gospel. And when you're not ashamed of the gospel, then you'll be able to serve with what in this verse, in 20. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my what? What's that next word? Right. If you're ashamed of the gospel, if you're ashamed to say that you're a believer, you're not going to serve God in your body. You're going to hide. You're going to cower. You're going to be in the shadows. You're going to be the secret believer. We had some of the gospels. We had some Pharisees that were believers in secret because they had some shame there that they were dealing with. God says, don't be ashamed, because if you're not ashamed, you'll be out there and you'll serve me with your mouth and your body and your life. And don't care what man says about it. 2 Timothy. We're in the home stretch. 2 Timothy. Verse 1, chapter 1. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the what? Of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of Christ that he suffered for you. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the saints around the world that are suffering in prison and torture for the name of Christ. Pray for them, cry for them, but never be ashamed that they are standing publicly for the Lord. Jesus does not want you to be ashamed of his testimony of what he went through, the mocking and the scourging. And even Paul says here, and of me, his prisoner. Do not be ashamed of that kind of testimony. It might be yours. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it if it's our personal testimony that we're suffering in that way, because we should identify that way as a suffering saint. Chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. We should never be ashamed if we suffer for the name of Christ. For I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that future day. Verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chains. He was not ashamed of the bonds and the torture that Paul went through, because it was for the name of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, how many like to study? How many don't like to study? What? You don't like to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And when you do, you're a workman that needeth not be, what? Not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Believers who ignore God's word, ignore praying, nor fellowship, nor preaching, who don't know God's word, God says there's going to be a day when you're involved in ministry, you're going to be ashamed because you don't know what you're talking about. Because it's not real. You're going to go through the motions, and you're going to go through your own strength, and that'll fail you. And when it fails you, what happens? You're going to be ashamed. You're going to say, I wish I would have studied that more. I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have been under the preaching more. I wish I would have listened more. So we study, short says, to prove that we're not going to be ashamed when God places us in those kind of situations. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Who's not ashamed to call who brethren? From that verse. Let's see if you get it right. You have two choices. Who is that? Did you hear what Dan said? Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother. Once we come to the cross and we become adopted, we become joint heirs with Christ, and he says at that point, he is not ashamed of calling us brethren. Before that, he might be, but he's not ashamed of us. Why should we be ashamed of him? Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. Jesus is not ashamed to tell the world that we're his brothers and that he died for us. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian. Now it says yet, if any man. But guaranteed, somewhere in your Christian walk, you're going to suffer. Somewhere along the line, you will suffer. And if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and it first begins at us. There will be a time when you're going to suffer. That's going to be a pivotal time in your life. Some of you have already gone through those. And it's a pivotal point because two things are going to happen. Either you're going to be ashamed of the suffering and turn your back on God, or you're going to give it to him and you're going to glorify him in your suffering. God says, do not be ashamed to suffer in my suffering. That's when you know that you're really identified with him, that it's not just talk and it's not fake. When you can say, I'm not ashamed to do this. I'm not ashamed to be mocked or ridiculed or even put in prison. If you are, then you're going to go backwards. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We should not be ashamed at his coming. The only reason we might be ashamed at his coming is why? I'll let you fill the blank. All right, if you're not living a godly life and he comes today, you're going to be ashamed. Why else would you be ashamed that it's coming? You're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, the wrong time. How would you like to be raptured out of a bar or out of a adulterous relationship or in the middle of a lie or something else? That would be the worst thing for a believer to get raptured at that moment. God says, don't be ashamed of my coming. And you won't be if you're doing what's right. If you have a clean heart, if you're sleeping well at night, and you're doing the things you should be doing, he can come right now and you'll be rejoicing. If you're walking in darkness, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you know that, and you're raptured, you're going to have some shame. All right. It's 8 o'clock. Let's go back to Psalm 25, right where we began. Let me read it, and then we'll close in prayer. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed of his testimony, his suffering, of fellow saints, of your suffering, of his word, of his commandments, of his statutes. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me, have any victory at all over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed waiting on the rapture. Let me not be ashamed which transgresseth without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And we can stop right there. All right, I'm going to pray just to kind of close it, give it some closure. And then I have some instructions for you. You can go, yay, instructions. We'll see. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And I pray that we will meditate upon this hard. That if there's any shame in our life concerning your word or who you are or your testimony or concerning our walk as a believer, that you would even now work on it in our life. That our desire would be that we would not be ashamed, no matter what. Because greater are you in us than he that's in the world. So challenge us, help us sink that into our mind. Help us meditate upon Psalm 25 and go rejoicing that we might not be ashamed. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You ready for instructions? You guys look whipped.